Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
But they pay money, they can say whatever they want. And they can in Philadelphia. They look like imbeciles continually chanting this. Continually. They won't stop with this. That's great. Go ahead. Knock yourself. You know what it does? It to me, I think it's, and I hardly ever believe this in sports, but I believe Sidney Crosby actually does hear that and it motivates him. I think that there are a lot of times stuff like that is overplayed. Oh, I feed into the atmosphere. I thrive off. I think in this case, he does. He really does.
There's certain teams you play. It may take you a second or two to get fired up. This is a game where he looks at it and sees it and gets to that level right when the puck drops.
Yeah,
there's no doubt.
I like being the villain. Okay. Fine. All right, games one, game three. Are those the real Penguins in game two, just an outlier? For me, you know, I've really thought about this, and I was thinking about it. This was the one topic I was really thinking about driving into work today. Was game two just the game that Elliott played out of his mind? Maybe the best game in his career. He'll never have a performance like that again. Hornquist hit the post a couple times.
Yep.
The Penguins were so-so. Sidney Crosby missed on a breakaway. Sidney Crosby missed an empty net, or an open net, excuse me, then slammed his stick. Elliott, again, was out of control good. In game one, in game three, a 7-0 win for the Penguins, a 5-1 win for the Penguins, aggregate 12-1 score, is more what the real Penguins are. And you look at game two and you're just like, stuff happens in the playoffs. You have one like that every once in a while. You just throw it away, you crumple it up, you forget about it, you move on. I seem to think that.
This goes back to what we talk about during the regular season. When we get, you know, the Penguins lose to a team, we're like, okay, they lost, but man, there's no way that team beats them in a series. This is one of those games, and I agree with what your thought is on that. This is just, okay, it happens. Elliott played good. You talked about all the stuff the Penguins didn't do, along with the two power plays they let up, 0-for-4 on their own power play. Yeah, it's just one of those games they lost, but again, you talk about a series, and this is, well, I think 1-3 are exactly the team that you're going to get.
Do you walk away from Friday night's game, Jim, and just kind of shrug your shoulders after what happened yesterday and just say, hey, no big deal?
After what happened, but, you know, the Flyers didn't get to 100 points or close to it by accident.
Mm-hmm.
They're good. And it is a series, and the chances, although after the first game,
you need a goalie.
To think about a sweep. Yeah, yeah. And I don't know if he can keep it up. I don't know that Elliott was, I don't know if you'd call him the difference in that game, but certainly
in
his
game
play.
Two?
In yeah.
Oh, most definitely, I think you. I don't think. I think Stone he was
Crosby.
The best player on the ice. The breakaway on Crosby was, it changed everything in that game. It's just a matter of opinion.
I don't know. I mean, he was good.
And the reason he was, though, is because he was so bad in game
one.
Yeah,
I was going to say, the reason you think that he stood on his head is because he was awful in the first game. And now already, I mentioned this earlier, there's apparently some talk in Philadelphia about replacing him again, this time with, with Neuwirth, who's been injured. So, I mean, that, if they're thinking about that, then you know what, if I'm Philly, I just stick with Elliott based on what happened in game two. But,
well, if you already stuck with Elliott from game one to game two, then you got to stick with him now. Right,
like that's what I would think. But
if Hakstol, because Hakstol was a guy who was, he wasn't called on the carpet, but that was when the decision needed to be made between games one and game two. There were people who were saying, now you got to switch up, because he had played Mrazek in game one as well. Now you switch it up. Now you make the change. Now it's understandable. Now you go with Mrazek. He stuck by his guy in game two, and his guy delivered with a great performance. Mm-hmm. So now you got to stick with him.
And I also think a telltale sign is, I would have taken Elliott out after Dumoulin's goal.
Yes.
I would have made a switch yesterday when it got to be 4-0 after the 5 seconds apart. I just would have gotten him out of there. If for no other reason than the same reason that he, you know, took him out in game one and then put him back in again to start game two. I was kind of surprised that he did that. And I'm not sure what that means. If you read into that that he wanted him to continue to play to see what he – I don't know. Who knows? But the Penguins goalie is better than the Flyers goalie by a lot.
A ton. But you know what the Penguins need to do? Stay out of the damn penalty box. You have Russ goes for tripping, Hagelin goes for a lazy slash, Schultz with a high sticking, Gino with an interference, Broussard with a tripping, Crosby with a hook late in the game, and then Riley Sheehan decides he wants to grab the puck and close his hand on it. It just nonsensical penalties that are largely avoidable that the Penguins – you say this line, I hate this line, but it's true. They're better than that. The Penguins need to play
they
cleaner
than
that.
Because when you give up, when you, the PK, you don't want them out there. Because what do they always do? They block shots. That's
right.
That's what they have to do. You don't, if you don't have to block shots or be put in that situation, don't do it.
It's recipe to get somebody hurt.
Absolutely.
And you don't need to play on the penalty kill. That's the one thing they need to clean up. They need to stay out of the box,
especially when you're ahead by four goals.
Right. Right. You know, and I think that were they a little whistle happy? Sure. Absolutely. And in game two, like the embellishment in game two, totally ridiculous call. But you got to stay out of the penalty box. You just do.
And I always feel Gino. Every time he feels he's up and they have a good little thing going, he goes ahead and does something stupid just to get a shot. And he doesn't need to do that anymore.
And Ruido and Kunockel, their penalty kill I thought was pretty good yesterday. Mm-hmm. I thought Sheehan played well on the penalty kill. Jim, I didn't know he killed penalties the way that he does. He's been very good on the penalty kill, Riley Sheehan.
He, from what we're told, he didn't do that in Detroit.
I know.
And then all of a sudden they thrust him into that role here. He has been good. He wins faceoffs for the I just said that off the top of my head. Now I'm going to look and see that he wasn't good on faceoffs or something. No, he was good. He was like 11-7.
No, but he's been very good on
but,
a penalty
yeah,
kill.
Yeah, that's one of the most important things on a penalty kill is winning faceoffs. Because you win that faceoff, you get, 20 seconds? It buys you 20 seconds. All of a sudden the team has, somewhere around a minute 40, a minute and a half to operate on the power play instead of 2 minutes.
The Brass Bonanza scoring a goal, a big, big goal yesterday in a big, big game. How about that?
I never thought of that, the Brass Bonanza.
They should
play
that
one. That's an excuse to play it.
Yep.
Compliments of Kessel.
Yes.
Who didn't have to shoot that, or could have shot that if he wanted, but he didn't.
Well, that was after he woke Kessel up, who fell asleep on the bench yesterday during a stretch. My daughter said that to me. She goes, "Did Phil Kessel fall asleep?"
He always does that. He puts his head down.
But did you see Broussard reach over and shake him?
Yeah, wake up. That's hilarious.
Yes, she said, "Did he fall asleep?" I said, no, he just does that. He exerts a lot of energy. Yeah,
Pierre should have yelled at him. Does he get over there in the corner next to Pierre?
He goes on the other side. Well, on that side, he was on the other side, I think. I think he was on the on the closed end. But it was something else. Broussard shook his shoulder. Man.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.